Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom. We are doing faith part two. And I pray that everybody has gotten the prescribed rest. I pray we're not celebrating the 4th of July for the simple reason that it is not because it's the celebration of the birth of this country, but it also celebrates the God of this country. So it is a religious holiday, whether people want to accept it as that or not, because it does pay homage to the deity, the goddess Columbia, the Statue of Liberty of this country, and we cannot worship any other deity at all, period. So I pray that we're not out doing that. Nevertheless, let us go in and let us do our statement of faith, and then we will pray in and get on into this lesson. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We glorify you. We lift you up and magnify your name, Father, to come before you. We worship you, Father, and you alone, for you alone are our Elohim. We don't plan to any other deity or their days, Father, but we raise holy hands to you on this, a day that you have reconciled, that we should come together as a great church. So glory to you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Now, ladies, to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen and amen. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 1, starting in, book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whether they will carry captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all the transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carry them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt, from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses, thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt. O Yah, Elohim. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. I pray that my sound is clear. I'm going to do this. We're going to start off in the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 10. The book of Romans, chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to Elohim for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of Elohim, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of Elohim's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, having not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of Elohim. So this first two verses tell us that Israel itself has a zeal of the Most High, but Israel was ignorant of the righteousness of Elohim. I don't know how they were ignorant of it, but the scripture says that they were ignorant of it, that like they didn't know. And they weren't able to submit themselves to it because they were ignorant of it. For Christ, or HaMashiach, is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Christ is the end of the law to righteousness for everyone that believes. That means that to become Christ-like, you won't be breaking the law. This is not that Christ put an end to the law. It's that he is the desired end state that we want to be. This is the way we want to end up, not that he is the end of the law. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that a man which does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ or Yeshua down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ, or Yeshua HaMashiach, up again from the dead. But what saith it? This is the end of the law. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. If the word is in your mouth, the statutes, laws, and commandments are in your mouth, if salvation is in your mouth, then surely you wouldn't be breaking the law. You would be walking in it. By your faith in Christ, understanding what he did and went through, we might come back to the Most High. So the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, that if thou shalt confess, let me finish that, and in thine heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, by faith we keep the statutes, laws, and commandments. Because our faith, our hope, the knowledge that we have tells us that Messiah went to the cross for us to pay for our sins, that we might have a way back, a path back to the Father. And so once we know this and we come to him and we accept him, that word is in us, we shouldn't be breaking his law. We shouldn't be transgressing. We don't put an end of it. We actually establish the law because we keep it ourselves. Okay. That is that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Yeshua HaMashiach, and shalt believe in thine heart that Elohim raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That word unto is not the same as into. If I come unto your house, that doesn't mean I came into your house. So with the heart, man believeth unto, right? It'll bring you to righteousness. You got to do those things that make you righteous to enter into it. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That doesn't bring you into salvation, but it brings you to the door of salvation. You got to do those things that are required to get into salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. That means that whatever he said to do, you're going to do it, and you're going to follow the instructions, and you're not going to be ashamed to do it. For there is no difference between Jew or Greek, for the same Yah is over all. The same Yah over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of Yah shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? Remember he says that those that believe in Elohim must believe that he exists and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Also, the same way with Mashiach. Got to believe that he actually came. So if they don't believe, people don't believe that he actually came, and there's some people that really don't believe that he came. Some people that the Most High told them that Mashiach didn't come. If they don't believe that he came, then they're not going to believe on him. They're not going to believe on that salvation. And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? Now, it's hard to believe that there's anybody, you know, except for some young people in the world, because Messiah has been preached globally. The true gospel of the kingdom has not been preached globally, but they have heard of Christianity. They have heard of Jesus Christ. And so they've heard. But there's few people that have not heard, especially in this day and time. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, again, also with this being heard, not just his name, but his true character, his way, what he believes in, and so forth and so on. So how are they going to believe if they haven't heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher, without somebody to actually tell them and teach them about Messiah? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, a lot of people desire to preachers, be teachers, but a lot of them are not sent. And so the gospel that they're teaching is, number one, not the true gospel. Number two, is not helping people to come into salvation. Because the truth of the matter is, when you really, really study this thing and you accept it in your heart, then you know that you can't just do and act any kind of way. You have to know this. So how the world is coming to the place where, you know, they can sin and just continue to sin and Messiah will just forgive them, that is not the Elohim or the Mashiach that we serve. And so mankind is using this to draw people to Messiah, but then at the same time dishonoring him, the same time disrespecting him. And so it's kind of crazy. Israel was given the job originally to teach the world about not only about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Elohim, but also given the job to teach about Messiah. But because our forefathers killed him, we were actually fired from that job until the end days, until these end times. And the world is going about preaching a gospel that is not of the Most High Elohim. It's just not of him. It's their own. They've created their own Elohim. They've created their own form of salvation. They've done worse than Israel has done, to be the truth, to be truthfully. So, but they, Israel, have not all obeyed the gospel. But we know that this is during the time of Israel, during that time. But as I look at the world has not obeyed the gospel either. And so the Most High wants the true gospel to come out. This is for the purpose that he woke us up, is waking us up in the last days, not only that he might save a remnant, but the true gospel might be preached and that people will come to him in spirit and in truth. Let's continue. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Yah, who has believed our report? Now, Isaiah, this is written in Isaiah, but Isaiah is not the one actually saying it. This is the Most High saying this. Through Mashiach, who has believed our report, the report of Father and Son, who has believed that the Most High was going to do this? Remember that the prophets speak on behalf of the Most High. The prophet is not speaking the words of his own self. So who has believed our report? The report of Father and Son. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Elohim. By the word of Elohim, not twisting or turning the truth of Elohim into a lie. Not making the gospel and the kingdom, not offering it in an incorrect way, not teaching the gospel a corrupted gospel, because the gospel is good news. The Most High is elevating people. He is making, as we learned this morning, making us his children, and that our mindset has to change to that of his children, truly children of Elohim. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, the sound went out into all the earth. The sound. But if a sound is not understood, then how can they come? And their words unto the ends of the world. So people are saying stuff, and they're doing stuff, and there's a sound going out into the world. But the true gospel of the kingdom is not being preached. It is the gospel of prosperity. It is the gospel of lawlessness. It is the gospel of, let me just get say something to attract people in, that I might get their money. But it's not bringing them to salvation. Israel is still guilty of this. But so is the world, okay? But I say, did not Israel know? First, Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger you. Now, this comes from Israel, again, fornicating with other gods, committing adultery, spiritual adultery with other Elohim. So the Most High says, I'm going to make you jealous. I'm going to provoke you to jealousy. Who is he provoking Israel to jealousy with? The church. And the church is that wild woman that don't keep the law. And Israel, you got to keep the law. So I'm going to provoke you like you provoke me. Let's go to Deuteronomy. Well, let me finish this verse. I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people and by a foolish nation. A foolish nation. Remember, the thought of foolishness is sin. So the Most High is using this foolish nation, and you hear Israel that wakes up, and all we complain about is the church, the church, the church, the church, the church, the church. The church didn't teach me anything. I found out that I was lied to. But they're calling on the name of the Most High. They're calling on the name of Mashiach. He says, now I'm going to use this people because heart-wise, they have something that Israel never had. They were able to believe through faith, and Israel was never able to believe through faith. They always had to have a sign, always had to, you got to come do this for us. That's why the Most High said they didn't obtain unto the righteousness of Elohim. How do you serve a righteous Elohim and then you don't you're ignorant of his righteousness. That means that your thoughts, the thoughts of our forefathers, were just corrupt. I mean, they had to be just wicked. How could they not see the righteousness or be ignorant of the righteousness of Elohim with him giving us the statutes, laws, the commandments? How could we be ignorant of it? So that means that there was something wrong with the four, you know, with the there's something wrong with our forefathers. Something spiritually wrong with them. And why the Most High chose us? Because he did. Only he knows. But how, you know, our forefathers being ignorant of the righteousness of Elohim. So I'm going to choose people that are no people. Because the church, in and of itself, if we just took that term and take away the buildings, then the church is made up of all these different ethnicities, all these different nations, all these different races. And they're not really one nation. They are in Messiah, yet still separate. And so it's a weird kind of arrangement. But they're no people. Not when it comes to having a national identity. They say that they're following Messiah, and that would be their identity. But then we got all these different denominations, and they're all believing in different ways and all doing different things. And he says, I'm going to use this to make you jealous. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32, and we're going to start in verse 1. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender earth, and as the showers upon the grass. The word of the Most High is going to rain down in the earth, and it's going to water everything, because I will publish the name of Yah. Ascribe ye greatness unto our Elohim. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, an Elohim of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Talking about us now, our forefathers. Their spot is not the spot of his children. Unless we become as his children. It says, unless we serve him from our hearts through faith, believing that everything that he has said, all his promises are good. We said we believe that, but our forefathers actually didn't. Their actions show that they didn't believe it. The scriptures are testifying that they didn't believe it. We are scattered because they didn't believe it. And they are not, their spot is not the spot of the Most High, not of his children. That's why I said this morning that we have to get out of this mindset of the bondwoman, of the slave mentality, and understand that when he made us his children, from the very beginning, we were supposed to have this attitude. We were supposed to understand who we were serving and who he was making us. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Perverse and crooked. Because they did not accept, they did not understand, they did not try to comprehend what the Most High was actually doing in them, with them, what he was offering them. And they actually really thought that his commandments were grievous. See, this is what we got to understand, that how our forefathers failed so that we don't fall that way. Perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite Yah, O foolish people and unwise? This word requite means to pay good for good or pay evil for evil. Either one. It says, do you requite me? Are you paying me good for good? Or are you trying to pay me evil for evil? Are you doing that? He's asking it, asking the people. Oh, foolish and unwise people. This is our forefathers. Is not he thy father that has brought thee, that has bought thee? Has not he made thee and established thee? That means that our forefathers didn't recognize truthfully what the Most High was giving them. And they were foolish. The scriptures is calling them foolish and unwise because they're not realizing that he is elevating them. He is, I will make you the head and not the tail. They didn't believe that. They had it in a kind of a vain, proud way. But they didn't really understand what it required them to do. And if they did, they just didn't do it. Now, this is not an absolute because there were some that did. But for overall, they didn't do it. And this is what got us scattered. And so we have to understand that we can't be foolish and unwise. We can't try to, yeah, you do a good for me, I'll do a good for you. Yeah, you punish me, I'll do an evil. We can't be that way. This is what he's saying when he's asking that question. Are you requiting me? Are you, when I do you good, you want to do me good? When I punish you, bring evil upon you, you want to do something evil to spite me? Unwise and foolish. That is perversity when you think about it. And crooked, corrupt. They just really missed the mark. They have corrupted themselves. Wait a minute. Verse 7. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided the nations, their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. The children of Israel weren't even created yet. The nation wasn't even created on the earth. But the Most High had already said this. He already knows what number he wants. And based upon that number, he divided each nation, its boundary, and said how many people would be in that nation based upon the number of Hebrew Israelites, the number of Israelites. I only want to say Hebrew Israelites again. Because all of Israel is not going to be Hebrew. The number of Israelites that he wanted. So we have to understand that the Most High says, I want a priesthood. This priesthood is representative of the nations of the world. And just as when I did up under the Levitical priesthood and I took the sons of Levi and for every firstborn in Israel, I traded the firstborn because I required the firstborn belong to me. All the firstborn belong to the Most High Elohim. All the firstborn in the world belong to the Most High Elohim, not just Israel. And so what he did with the Levites was, in Israel, this is a microcosm of what he's going to do globally. I'm going to trade one firstborn for one firstborn. And when I run out of priests, then you have to redeem all the rest according to the shekel of the tabernacle. So they will come and they will pay Messiah. We have, this is the shekel of the tabernacle, whatever that's going to be worth in that day. You have, let's say, 10 million people. There are 3 million priests, and I'm just making a number up just so we can sort of get an idea. There are 3 million priests. There's 10 million people in your nation. I'm trading one for one for every person in your, every firstborn in your nation. You got 7 million firstborns that are not accounted for. They got to pay. They got to be redeemed by the shackle of the tabernacle. Bring that money to Messiah. this is what he's doing. And he has, this was in place from the very beginning. He showed us what he was doing through the Levitical priesthood. So he had already divided up the nations and said, all right, so many go to Judah, so many go to Joseph, so many go to Issachar, so many go to Benjamin, so many go to all the 12 sons, all the 12 tribes. Because I told you that before in a different lesson that it was not just the Levites that were supposed to be the priesthood. It's a nation of priests. And that nation had a priesthood within itself, which was the Levitical priesthood. But all the other 11 tribes were also priests, but to the world. So he's saying, okay, I've already set the boundaries of all these nations and how many people are going to be in them, according to the sons, the children of Israel. And so this structure is already there. And this is what we are supposed to be establishing ourselves. We are supposed to understand what's going on, and we're scattered throughout all the nations of the world, and where we're at in whatever nation, then we should be establishing the priesthood in that nation. And then everyone that comes to us of our own people, of the Gentiles, they're supposed to be paying tithes according to the number of priests. And if their people outnumber our priesthood, then they have to pay, they have to redeem those that are above that and fund the kingdom of heaven. Let's keep moving. For Yah's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. We are his personal priesthood. We are supposed to minister to him. That's why I say we get this, we don't treat the office of elder the way we ought to treat it. His priest, and not the Levitical priest. Because when we go to Ezekiel, because of how the Levitical priesthood treated him, how they turned on their own God, their own Elohim, he says, I'm gonna reconstitute you, the Levitical priesthood, in the Melchizedek order, but you will not come in and be able to serve me directly. Now that's saying something. You can't come in and minister to me directly because you corrupted yourselves. And I'm not going to let you do it. You can be the day porters. You can help clean up the place. You can be the greeters. But you can't be a priest in my temple and come in when Messiah is on the throne. Can't come in and serve me. So, you know, our people have to understand, you don't just get to treat the Most High any kind of way and then think that you're going to have everything to the fullness that he intended for you. We went too far. Our forefathers went too far in a lot of the things that they did. Imagine that, your own priesthood turning on you and corrupting their ways. But he says, Jacob is his portion. This is who I selected for myself out of all the nations of the world. He found him in a desert land and in a waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. And we are the apple of his eye. But you know what? We have to start getting this thing right. As his people, we can't set claim to be Israel, can't claim to be awakened, and then we don't understand what's required, and we just want to do, you know, we just want to say we're the people. As an eagle stirreth her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, take them and beareth them on her wings. So Yah alone did lead him, and there was no strange Elohim with him. That's why he says, you are my witnesses. when there was no strange Elohim among you, I showed you that I am Elohim. He showed our forefathers who he was. There is no other Elohim besides me. That's Israel's testimony. So why were we serving Baal and all these other deities when he says, when there was no strange Elohim among you, I showed you who I was. I did things you have seen no other Elohim or anything that claimed to be Elohim do. I brought water out of a flint rock. You sparked flint together. You hit it together. It sparked. It don't produce water. That's the rock that he brought. That's the rock that he used to bring water out of. Here, drink. Ain't nobody else going to do this like this. Make a lake come out of flint rocks. I split the Red Sea. Caused you to go across on dry ground. And I ground the Egyptians behind you. And all of the miracles that I showed you in Egypt, when there was no strange Elohim among you, so you couldn't claim and give credit to nothing else but me. He made him to ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of a rock and oil out of a flinty rock, butter of kine and milk of sheep. So butter of cows and milk of sheep. With fat lambs and the rams of bread of Bashan, hybrid, you know, the high breed of lambs, the best of them, and goats, and the fat of kidneys of wheat. Thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. I blessed you in everything that you needed. And you became fat. Our forefathers became rich. They became blessed. They became above. They had the best. But Jeshurun, that represents Israel, waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. You have gotten fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook Elohim, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. This is what our forefathers gave up, not understanding that they were supposed to be the priesthood to the world. The Most High said, I will make you the head and not the tail. And when he made us the head and not the tail, what did our forefathers do? They forsook him. They start taking credit for their richness. They start taking credit for their fatness, that they had done this themselves. They didn't seek after righteousness. They started to defraud each other, trying to get, you know, all of them are blessed, and they're trying to take from each other. This greed amongst them. We don't want to be equal. We gotta have somebody that's greater than the other. Because the plan and the structure that the Most High wants to be in place, he really started that in Israel. So when they were blessed and waxed fat, they forsook him. Wanted to do it their way. We want to worship these other gods. We want to worship these other Elohim. They forsook the Elohim that formed them, that made them. And they started claiming that they did this thing themselves. It's of their own might. And they had little regard for the rock of their salvation. Our forefathers messed up bad. They provoked him to jealousy with strange Elohims, fornicating with these Elohims, spiritual fornication. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils and not to Elohim, whom they knew not, to new Elohims. This is small Elohims that came newly up. Somebody invented them, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee, see, we have to be begotten of Elohim. What the one thing he didn't do for them that he has done for us, he says, under this new covenant, under the old covenant, I didn't give you all my spirit.
I gave you my statutes, my laws, and my commandments. But under the new covenant, I'm going to pour out of my spirit on you. I'm going to beget you as my sons and daughters. He didn't do that for our forefathers. He only did that with the prophets and the kings. So we today, we cannot mistake this thing. We cannot be so puffed up, so proud, and think if we have the statutes, laws, and commandments that we have it all. He gave that to our forefathers. He said, but I'm a new covenant. I'm going to take that first covenant and I'm going to write it in your heart. And then I'm going to fill you with my spirit, just like I did with the prophets, just like I did for the kings that were righteous. And Israel has gotten the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, don't really want the Most High himself. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't get it. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful and hast forgotten Elohim that formed thee. And when Elohim saw it, he abhorred them. He hated them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. The men going out and chasing the women of other nations, bringing their Elohims into Israel, and not just bringing them in, but worshiping them, marrying them, our women, lost their honor and their dignity. He tells us they went about promoting their sexuality, their sensuality, with the mincing of their hips and sticking their necks out and advertising themselves, not living as holy women. So he said the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And because we did what we did, again, when we got sent into captivity, that captivity was to utterly corrupt us. But it was also to make us see ourselves and turn to the Most High, call out upon him. And most of us forgot. So thorough were the Gentiles in the brainwashing of us. And, you know, I can't really say that. Let me say it this way. Because they took the young children, the average age was about 11 or 12. And the oldest that they would really take would be about a 20-year-old. They would never take an old man or an old woman. They wouldn't survive the voyage. So they had these young kids that they could manipulate. They had these young kids that they could really turn into what they wanted to turn them into. And the Most High said they went too far. Nevertheless, we are here where we're at today. And we can read this and understand that we can't do what our forefathers did. We have to pick up and understand what the Most High intended from the beginning and begin to do that. And if the Gentile wants to join to us, we can't tell them no. We just got to know that we have some specific issues of our own that we have to deal with, but they got issues to be dealt with as well. Let's continue. So he abhorred our forefathers because of the provoking of his sons and his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very froward generation. That froward means that they got a perverse mouth. You know, they talk stuff that they ain't supposed to talk. They're doing stuff they ain't supposed to do. Just talking out the side of their neck. Wickedness. Children in whom is no faith. Now, the Most High says this, that our forefathers had no faith. But he's saying salvation is based upon faith. This is the faith that he was looking for in our forefathers all along. Just believe what I say and walk in what I tell you. Do good and not evil. When I bless you, don't forget who blessed you. Don't take what I give to you and give it to another Elohim that don't even exist, but in your mind they exist. So you have made up an Elohim in your mind and in your heart, and the riches and the blessings that I give you, you go set before them. So he equates it in Hosea of a woman who has a husband, and the everything that her husband provides for her, she sets it in front of another man. You are perverse. You are crooked. Let's keep going. Verse 20 again. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not Elohim. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. This is having a corrupt mind, because Israel was supposed to know. Our forefathers were supposed to know there is no other Elohim besides ours. The Most High says, I don't know any other Elohim, so how could we ever know another Elohim or worship something as Elohim other than him? He says, they have moved me to jealousy with that which is not Elohim, which is not the true Elohim. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. A foolish nation is a sinful nation. So when was he going to provoke us to anger? When was he going to provoke us to jealousy? Because when the church started, when the body started, when Messiah started the church, the first, lack of a better word, I'm going to just say believers, true believers, were Hebrews and Gentiles 10 years in. Sixty, 50 years, somewhere in that time frame, we were destroyed as a nation. When was he going to provoke us to jealousy? We were on the run, not thinking about, you know, trying to survive the Roman Empire, ran into Central and Western Africa to save ourselves. We didn't run north into the Roman Kingdom. We ran south into Africa. By the time that we really are settled, the people know who we are. They would know that we're not them. They start subjugating us and selling us as slaves to fulfill the prophecy, the word of the Most High. So when were we supposed to be jealous of this nation, this people that is not a people? This is an end time prophecy. The church had to grow up and be established before it could make us jealous. As a people. So now we wake up in the end times. He awakes us to make us jealous with a nation that is no nation, a people that is no nation. And we wake up and we, the ones that we are against, who we talk about all the time, the church, the church, the church. Because of just like that spiritual whoredom that we did, and we come out of slavery and we still got this spirit of whoredom on us, this spirit of the church and the faith of the church that they, hey, we just believe him, but they don't really keep his statutes, laws, and commandments. They are just as foolish. It says, but they're going to claim to be mine, and I'm taking a portion of them for myself because of how you acted. Let's keep going on. For a fire is kindled in my anger. and shall burn into the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountain. I'm hot. I am furious. I will heap mischief upon them. I will spend my arrows upon them. I'm going to cause mischief, cruel things to happen to you as a people. And see, we get mad when we see, you know, we want to say, well, the Most High shouldn't hold this person accountable when they were raped, or when they went through this, or when they went through that. But he caused that to happen. He caused our people to be wicked that way, to do those things, not only be allowed other people to do it to us, but our own people to do it to ourselves. I will set brother against brother, the men against the women against the men. He says, this is that mischief. And then we want to say, oh, we should have leeway to do this, remarry, or do this, because we find ourselves in awkward positions because of the sins of our forefathers. And we have to understand that we have to look and see, where does the Most High place us? And from there, how do we get out of this crooked way? How do we change, set our path straight? And for some of us, that means that, hey, we can't be with anybody. What's not fair to me? The Most High says, it wasn't fair what your forefathers did to me. I proclaim this. I proclaim that you should be shot down. That's what those arrows are. Doesn't matter whether it's with an arrow or with a gun. Because of how our forefathers treated the Most High, the nations are shooting us down in the streets and thinking nothing of it, like we're an animal or something. And unless we repent and turn to him with our whole hearts, that is our only solution. That is our only fix. No matter what it takes, Most High, we will straighten up and we will live righteously. We will live righteous lives. Or this mischief is going to continue until he returns. Because this is in his anger. This he proclaimed out of his anger. So there's going to come a time when I'm going to reverse this curse. But it's going to have to run its course until he's ready. Let's continue. I will heap mischief upon them. I will spend my arrows upon them. You think of Messiah sitting up there with arrows, shooting them down and killing us? No. He's using the nations. So when they shoot us down in the streets, we are all in an uproar. It's because we have not come back to him and repented. We have not started living righteous lives so the nations can say, oh, these are the people of the Most High. If we're doing drugs and staying drunk and out chasing each other and chasing the nation and doing everything but what we were called to do, and then say, oh, you should be like us. Oh, we're going to continue to teach them to be wicked? We don't want to attain unto the righteousness of Elohim. We want to use it as an excuse to be just like the world still. We are just like our forefathers. And we see what happened to them. And the Most High is saying, hey, I just want you to step into what I called you to, and to be righteous. And if you don't want to be righteous, I have a place. I pray we can hear what he's saying, because he was super hot at us. They shall burn with hunger and devour with burning heat and with bitter destruction. I will also send the teeth of beasts against them, and with poison servants of the dust, the sword which out without and terror within shall destroy both the young man and the virgin, the suckling also, with the man of gray hairs. I'm going to destroy the young man and the virgin. The young man running around becoming whoremongers, the virgins running around not being virgins. This was caused by the Most High. The suckling also, the young and the old. because he was hot at us. He was angry with us. You went a whoring after other gods. When I made you fat, you forsook me. You used me. I said I would scatter them into corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. How do you do that? Let me send your young over and cause them to forget who they are. Then you're going to be scattered around throughout all the nations of the world, not knowing who you are. Were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, our hand is high, and Yah has not done all this. See, we're blaming the Most High says, hey, I don't want you to give this credit to anyone else. I did this to you. I don't want your enemies to say that they did this. And see, we run around pointing fingers at the Gentiles and Edom and everybody else. But Most High said, you better look up here. You better look up here. For they are a nation void of counsel. Neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise. Oh, that they feared me. That they should understand us. That they would consider their latter end. This is our latter end. How can we wake up and say that we are his people, that we are his children, the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob of the flesh? Read this stuff and then don't change. Don't get the faith that he says, do what I said and these things will happen to you. Do what I said and this good will happen to you. We are so caught up in identity that we don't know that identity actually curses us. And we'll take on those curses to say that we're the people of the book, but then we don't make change. We don't do and get the faith that the Most High says that he wants in his people. He says, we are out, have no faith. We won't do what it is that he tells us to do. We won't come out from the nations. We won't establish our own communities. We won't pool our funds so that we all have things in common where we're bringing up each other, everybody's coming together. We still want to be every man for himself. And this is what, you know, when we look at this thing, Most High says, I've given you the blueprint. You claim you belong to me. And you still won't follow the blueprint. You still want to do what you want to do, how you want to do it. Then you want to walk in fear, afraid you're going to have to give up something. When I've shown you through all the examples, my prophets, Moses gave up an entire kingdom, live amongst his people. We got houses and cars, a little bit of land, and probably most of us don't even own that. And afraid to come together and be together and live according to the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High as a people, even within the nations that we're in. We are without excuse, and we have no faith. We're not looking at what the Most High said that he is doing. I, from the very beginning, I've already done this. I established the boundaries of the nations based upon the children, the number of the children of Israel. Your job is to be the priest to the world. You're trying to get up in everything else. You're trying to stay in those worldly professions, those worldly jobs, and you don't want to take on the job of the priesthood. You just want the title. but you don't really want the job. It's like you want the blessing, but you don't really want the blesser. And Yah Elohim, this is our last chance. He told me to make the last call. So we have to come together and form communities. We have to give up our worldly possessions and understand that we're supposed to work for the common good of Israel, the common good of one people, the common good of the body. And don't worry about what the world says. Oh, it's a cult. They're heretics. They're this, they're that. Let the world say what it's going to say. And all those Hebrews, so-called Hebrews, who won't get with the program, let them say what they're going to say. We have to do what the Most High has called us to. Can't worry about what men say. We can't fear what they say or what they're going to do. We are to establish this kingdom in the earth. And we are to put rules and regulations from the scriptures in place. You as a nation, you owe us this. And if you claim to be a member of the body of Messiah, then you have to pay this. And if they are disobedient, so what? Guess what? The Most High will get them. We just need to step into what it is that he has called us to. He says, I would have utterly destroyed all of you. But then the enemy probably would have taken credit for what happened to you. And I want everybody to know, Yah has done all this. For they are a nation void of counsel. Neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and Yah had shut them up? What he's saying is, one of you put 1,000 to flight, two of you put 10,000 to flight. How could that be that they have taken you except your rock had sold you? I turned on you and I shut you up. I allowed them to do this to you. For their rock is not our rock, even our enemies themselves being judged. Yah forsook us as a people. So you're the apple of my eye, but I'm going to forsake you for a while. And I'm going to allow these things to come on you. And the results of it, and when you come out of it, if you don't turn back toward me, if you don't get understanding, if you don't increase your faith, if you don't walk in the vision, even not being able to see the end of it, then I'm just going to consider you as corrupt. I'm just going to consider that, hey, you still walk with no understanding. You are a people without understanding, and you can't enter into my kingdom, not as my priest. Not in the job that I called you for. This is why this is dedicated to Israel. For their vine is the vine of Sodom and the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are the grapes of Gaul. Their clusters are bitter. Our vine is the vine of Sodom. The reason that he really destroyed Sodom, not only were they after perverse flesh, men with men, women with women, men with animals, women with animals, but they didn't take care of, they were blessed, and they didn't even take care of their fatherless, their widows, and their homies. They were too busy trying to seek after pleasure, trying to seek after strange pleasure. They were truly infected with the spirit of lasciviousness. Their wine is poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps. Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures? To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste, that makes a hurry. So we ended up where we're at because of this. For Elohim shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he sees that their power is gone. When we were in slavery, we had no power. How did we come out of slavery? Because the Most High repented of it. But we still have to deal with the after effects. We still have to return to him. And there is none shut up or left. And he shall say, where are their Elohims, their rock in whom they trusted? Wow. Which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings. Let them rise up and help you and be your protection. See how we have to come back to the Most High. We have to have our full faith in him. It can't be in us. It can't be in the governments. It can't be in anything other than him. He said, because he's going to say, hey, that's who you trust. Call on them. Let them protect you. But if we turn completely back toward him with our whole hearts and walk in faith to establish what he has said to establish, then he will protect us. He will turn his eyes and his ears back toward us. I pray we can hear this. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no Elohim with me. There ain't nobody else here. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. If I be for you, who can be against you? But I be against you, who can be for you? Can nobody deliver you out of my hands if I'm against you? If I wet my glittering sword and my hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to my enemies and will reward them that hate me. When we don't walk in his statutes, his laws, and his commandments, when we don't have faith in what he says, when we don't believe it, when we don't act on it like we believe it, when we don't set our lives and act on what he has said we should do as a people because we believe this is what we're supposed to be doing, when we just sit back and do nothing and say, oh, Yah blesses me, saying, hey, that ain't what I'm looking for. And you not what I'm looking for. So we can't not get this wrong. We cannot get this wrong. Because he's going to reward. He's talking, when he's saying, I will render vengeance to my enemies, he's talking about us. We're the ones that hurt him. Our forefathers. This whole chapter is about us. It's not about the Gentiles. It's about our forefathers and us in the last days. So we have to come up, let our faith increase. And whether we can see it or not, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. We need to establish his kingdom in this earth, taking land, taking people, taking finance, everything that it takes to run a kingdom. We need to set up, oh, you are of the nations. We have this many priests. How many are in your nation? That's how many we can cover. Of the firstborn, all your other firstborns, you got to restore them. You got to redeem them. This way. Walk in belief in what the Most High says. And we want to sit back and wait for somebody else to do it. You're going to sit and wait and end up in the lake. I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to end up in the lake. I want to be that faithful child of the Most High Elohim. If I go to my grave, I want to go to my grave doing what it is that I've seen in this word that he has said for us to do. And if he doesn't tarry and he comes back, I want him finding us doing what it is that he said to do. And if he doesn't come back, then whenever he does come back, it should be in place. And we should have a generation of generations doing what he said to do. We should not be walking without faith because we can't see it, because we don't understand it. That's for somebody else. If you believe it's for somebody else, you need to get away. You need to go and do and be with those, whatever is going to, you know, make you comfortable. But if you say that you are the children of the Most High Elohim, then we have to be doing this thing so that we can say, Most High, we understand. We understand that you put us in the church, and then you woke us up, and we were angry because we felt like they misrepresented you, and they didn't do, not doing what you said to do, but you said you would use them to provoke us to anger. So all we got to do is do what we're supposed to be doing. I will make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, and that with the blood of the slain and the captives, from the beginning of the revenges upon the enemy. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants, and will render vengeance to his adversaries, and will be merciful unto his land and unto his people. When we turn back to him, he will turn to us. And Moses came and spake all the words of this song in the ears of the people, he and Hoshea, the son of Nun. And Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all Israel. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I have testified among you this day, which you shall command your children to observe and do, to observe to do all the words of this law. See, this establishment of the kingdom, not forgetting our Elohim, this all the structure and everything that the Most High said, this is how I want things set up. He said, teach it to your children to observe to do it. The problem is our forefathers didn't. And they walked not in faith. They, you know, as soon as they had it good, then they started taking credit for they made themselves fat. They didn't go about to establish and do what the Most High said to do. We can't wake up in these end days and not do what he said to do. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, if I have to do it alone, then that's what he's going to find me doing. I can't know this, can't see this, can't read this, and then choose to do otherwise. Fear to do what he said to do. Have no faith that what he says is going to come to pass. Israel can hear this. And I hope you pass this lesson to whoever, your Hebrew Israelite brothers and sisters, have them to understand that we have to stand up in our faith, not just create camps. Because even a lot of the doctrine of the camps is corrupt. But we have to really set up salvation stations for our own people and for the world and set up this kingdom in the earth. Structure the way that he says, that we have to have all things in common. Why are you trying to have more than your brother or your sister? If you have a roof over your head, clothes on your back, a place to you know, food, and you're working toward the kingdom, that's what you need now. That's what you need to be doing now to make it right with our Elohim. I pray we can hear this anyway. Let's hear what he says. Let's finish this off. And Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all Israel. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which you shall command your children to observe and do, to do all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. We didn't want that to be our life. We don't want to be the kings and the priests. We want to have the title, but we don't want to have the responsibility. We want to have the title, but we don't want to do what we're supposed to do. We want to claim to be the children of the Most High, but we won't do what he says to do. We want to be blessed, but then we don't want the blesser. This is our life. Oh, no, I want to be a photographer. Oh, no, I want to be a DJ. Oh, no, I want to be a rapper. Oh, no, I want to be an athlete. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be anything but what the Most High has called us to be. And we wonder why we're not a happy people. We wonder why we're not a successful people. We wonder why. Trying to blame everybody else. No, do what the Most High called you to do. Learn how to be that child of Elohim and that priest. I'll make you the king. We want everything else but. And through this thing, you shall prolong your days in the land, whether you go over the Jordan to possess it. Got into the land, got fat, forsook our Elohim, didn't put any of his plans into place, got cursed, got scattered, waking up and coming out of slavery, and still haven't learned our lesson. The book of Romans, chapter 10. Going back to Romans, chapter 10, picking it up in verse 20. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. This is that foolish nation. But to Israel, he said, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Let's look up this word gainsaying. Hold on a second. Let me get this. Romans chapter 10, verse 21. Gainsaying. This word means contradicting, denying, opposing. Contradicting. We're the people of the book. We're the people of the Most High. But we don't obey him. Contradiction. We are kings and priests. But you're a slave. And you've been in captivity most of your existence. We are a child of Elohim, but you don't walk in it, you don't talk in it, you don't act in it. Contradiction. Gainsaying. Opposing the Most High, denying his power, denying his righteousness, being ignorant of it. Let's go to Isaiah 65. The book of Isaiah, chapter 65. We're going to start in verse 1. Isaiah, chapter 65, starting in verse 1. I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, behold me, look at me, unto a nation that was not called by my name. Wasn't saying this to Israel. He's saying this to the nation. I have spread out my hand all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good, after their own thoughts, a people that provoked me to anger continually. He's telling the Gentiles, this is what we did. people that provoke me to anger continually to my face, that sacrifice in gardens and burn incense among the altars of the brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the mountains, which eat swine's flesh. Our people were doing that. And broth of the abominable things in their vessels. We knew not to eat swine's flesh. The Gentiles didn't know that. We knew not to eat the abominable things like shrimp stew and all this kind of stuff. The Gentiles didn't know that. Which say, stand by thyself. Come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. We were saying that we were holier than the Most High. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all day. Our forefathers developed their own righteousness. That's what he says above in Romans chapter 10. No, being ignorant of the righteousness of the Most High, they made their own righteousness. In their own righteousness, they declared that they were holier than the Most High. People try to take this verse and say, oh, you think you're holier than thou. That verse ain't got nothing to do with us in that way. It has to do with us and our mentality, not taking the righteousness of Elohim, not understanding the righteousness of Elohim and developing our own, which was contrary to his. He says, we were a smoke in his nostril. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but I will recompense, even recompense into their bosom. Your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, saith Yah, which have burned incense upon the mountains and blasphemed me upon the hills. Therefore will I measure their former work into their bosom. All this has come upon us because of this is what they did to the Most High. Thus saith Yah, as new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. So will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. See, we need to be that new wine in that cluster, in the cluster. We need to be the ones that are preaching the truth, which are walking in his ways, which the blessing is in. And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountain, and my elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. And Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor a place for the herds to lie down, for my people that have sought me, for my people that have sought me. Israel is not seeking the Most High. Israel is seeking a personal identity. We've been trodden down so long, told we were nothing, we're nobody, you're brute beasts, you're animals, you have no culture, you never contributed anything. And we're trying so hard to be somebody, not understanding who we are. And understanding that our only hope is to seek the Most High Elohim. With our whole hearts, not half-assed, with our whole hearts. But you are they that forsake Yah, that forgot my holy mountain, that prepare a table for that troop, and that furnish the drink offering unto that number. Therefore will I number you to the sword, and you shall all bow down to the slaughter. This, you know, we don't want to hear this as a people. Because when I called, you did not answer. When I spake, you did not hear. But you did evil before my eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. Therefore, thus saith Yah Elohim, behold, my servants shall eat, but you shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but you shall be ashamed. Excuse me. So we have to be the good grapes that are in the cluster. We have to be his real servants. Because everybody that claim to be Israel, that are not doing what they're supposed to do, they're going to stay thirsty. They're going to stay hungry. They're not going to not be able to rejoice in the Most High. They're going to be the ones that are ashamed. all those that won't hear his truth, all those who won't lift up their faith and do what it is that he has told us to do. Behold, my servant shall sing for joy of heart, but you shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall howl for vexation of spirit, and you shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen. For Yah Elohim shall slay thee and call his servants by another name. Can we hear this? We have so corrupted his name. He says, I'm going to call them by another name. What other name is he going to give us? I don't know yet. He hasn't revealed that. I actually need to go before him. That he who has blessed himself in the earth shall bless himself in Elohim, the Elohim of truth. And he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the Elohim of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from mine eyes. For behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. You can't find that in Jerusalem today. The Gentiles are in Jerusalem. They're still trodding it up underfoot. And because we won't do what we're supposed to do, we can't go and take the land. We can't take it until Messiah comes back. But he says, when I come back, I'm going to make Jerusalem. We talked about her this morning. She's going to have many children, she that was barren, the new Jerusalem, more than the one that had a husband. Because she's going to have all these adopted children. She didn't travail in birth pains. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that has not filled his years, his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. Now, when we went into the promised land, the Most High promised us that we would live in houses that we didn't build. We would inhabit cities that we didn't build. We were just going to take the cities. Now he's saying this has to be rebuilt. And you're going to build houses and inhabit them. And you're going to plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of the trees are, the days of my people. Do you know the trees on this earth that have been here 100,000 years? Here in the U.S., in, where was that at? I believe it's in Utah. Trees that are 100,000 years old up in Oregon. I may be mistaken. But he says, that's how old my people are going to be. That's going to be the days of my people as the tree lives. We know that's going to be even longer than that because he's going to make us eternal. And my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of Yah, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass, and before they call, I will answer. We have to step into this. If we're doing what we're supposed to do, before we even ask, the Most High will already have provided. Oh, we were going to ask for that, but here it is. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. Going to go back to the days before the flood, before the flood. Because before the flood, animals were not eating animals. People were not eating animals. We ate the herb of the field, the fruit from the trees, but we did not kill animals to eat them. And I need to do a lesson on that because the animals themselves were different. That relationship between man and the animals was different. So the Most High says, I'm taking it back to before the flood. back to what I intended it to be. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith Yah. Now, what we have to understand as his people, the Most High wants us, if we can see, just like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the patriarchs, they were faithful because they were able to see the vision, and they grabbed a hold of the vision, and they lived their lives according to the vision, having not received the promise of the vision. And we have to live, do the same thing, see the vision, grab a hold to the vision, and live our lives according to the vision. Even if we don't see, if we don't live to see the lion lay down with the lamb, we know that it's coming. We have to act accordingly. Let's go to Romans chapter 3 and verse 1. The book of Romans chapter 3 and verse 1. Because we can't worry about what our brothers who are walking in unbelief, what they're doing. We can only tell them and keep it moving. Romans chapter 3, starting in verse 1, verses 1 through 4. What advantage then has the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, because that unto them was committed the oracles of Elohim. But what if some did not believe? We got to know that we were special. We were given the oracles, but we got to walk in the oracles and the statutes and the commandments. We've got to, the oracles don't just tell us to keep the law. The oracles tell us how to establish the kingdom of heaven on the earth. So what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of Elohim without effect? Elohim forbid. Yea, let Elohim be true and every man a lie, as it is written, that thou mayest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. The Most High said, these things are going to come to pass. We are supposed to live our lives accordingly. You can't make excuses that, oh, we're in America and this. We're in Bolivia and this. We're in Israel and we got no power in this. We were given the oracles are not just the statutes, laws, and commandments. The oracles are also the vision that the Most High has for this world and what he wants done. We accepted, we took the statutes, laws, and commandments, but we never took hold of the vision of what he wanted for the world. We have to do that. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, verse 16, because this is what our people are doing. Titus chapter 1, verse 16. They profess that they know Elohim, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. Because we don't have the vision that the Most High gave to us, because we don't have understand his righteousness, and we went about to establish our own. We're not trying to be his children. We say that we know him, but in works we deny him. We got to come out of this. We have to step into the visions of what he has said. We have to step into that vision and live our life accordingly. And we cannot walk in fear. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. For by grace are you saved, through faith. How can you be saved with no faith? You can't. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of Elohim, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, Israel has gotten the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High and claimed to be the people of the book, claimed to be the children of Elohim, and don't have the faith to open up their hearts and submit themselves to the Elohim with their whole heart, that he might fill them with his ruach. They want to be able to boast, I did this, just like our forefathers did. We did this. They want to be able to boast about it, brag about it. We keep the statutes, laws, and commandments, and we keep the feast days, and we keep Sabbath. But not stepping into the vision and not allowing the Most High to fill them with his ruach. They want to do it by their works. That still shows that we are without faith. Because when we have faith, we turn it all over to the Most High. And we allow him to fill us with his ruach. We allow him to give us the gift of salvation, that we might be able to walk in his righteousness, not our own. Because that's what we want to do. We want to establish our own righteousness and still be ignorant of the righteousness of the Most High. It's nothing changed but the date, the day. Everything is still the same. Only thing that has changed is the day with our people. Chapter 18. Can't get in of our own works. Can't get in simply because we keep the law. By faith are we saved. That faith is in the Most High Elohim and his Messiah. Luke chapter 18, verses 10 to 12. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, Elohim, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. This man's trying to be justified by his works. Trying to boast of his righteousness, establishing his own righteousness. If you read the rest of that, Messiah said that the publican was justified because he let down his head. I'm just a sinner. Have mercy on me. We look at the church. We don't see them keeping the law. They're sinning. They say, oh, I can go before the Most High and I can just ask for forgiveness whenever I sin. We know it's not right, but he says, I'm going to let them say that to provoke you to jealousy. You want to say they're not going to make it in, and that's on me, the Most High. I'm the judge, not you. Just like you took my stuff and put it down before those what you thought were gods and made me and provoked me to jealousy, I'm using these people to provoke you to jealousy. Don't try to get in by your works, Israel. Don't think that all you got to do is keep the statutes, laws, and commandments. Because then you are not justified. You are not of faith. The Most High is looking for faith. And the faith that you have is that you turn yourself over to him completely. Then he will fill you with his ruach. But as long as you want the blessings and not the blesser, as long as you just want to say, you know, look at me. I keep the statutes, the laws, and commandments. I keep the feast days. I tithe all the time. I take care of the poor. But the Most High says, that's all good. But what I'm really looking for is for you to submit yourself to me. Because see, you doing those things to be righteous in and of yourself because you think that doing those things establishes your righteousness. But I'm telling you, I need to beget you. Then you do those things. I need to see in your heart that you are going to be faithful to me, that you're not going to go a whoremongering. You're not going to go fornicate after other gods, that you're going to be faithful to me. And I will be faithful to you. Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruit meant for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to be our father. For I say unto you that Elohim is able to raise up these stones, children unto Abraham. See, Israel always wants to brag about we the people, but we need to understand what the Most High is doing. Grab hold to what he is doing and hold on to it and support it and do it. We just want to run our lips, smack our gums together. But we don't really want to be faithful to him. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 through 26. Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 26. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is Elohim. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Now, some of y'all listening to Geno Jennings, and Geno Jennings believed that these are the only commandments that you have to keep. Okay? Because these are all that Messiah listed. But I want to say, don't believe that. Because there are some commandments that are missing. The first three or four are missing. That's why they don't keep Sabbath. Because it don't mention to keep the Sabbath right here. But it don't mention to fear Elohim. You shall have no other God before him. That you shall not make any images of any other gods. The first four commandments are missing. So his that doctrine and that understanding is flawed. He saith unto him, Which? Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth. What lack I yet? What else do I need to do? Yeshua said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Now he's inviting him, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Yeshua unto his disciples, Verily I hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Why shall a rich man hardly enter into a kingdom of heaven? Not that he can't, but a rich man depends upon his riches. That's why he can't make it in. He don't depend upon Elohim. He depends, he thinks his security in what he has. But if the rich man can understand that, hey, I didn't make these riches by myself. The Most High made them, and my life is still dedicated to the Most High. Whatever he needs toward his kingdom, I'm providing. And when they can really hear it, then, oh, yeah, I can do what he just told this young man to do. And y'all's going to send those, trust me. And again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. That's not a sewing needle that he's talking about. That eye of a needle was like a gate in Israel, like a street that had a real narrow, it was a real narrow street, and it had like an arch in it. So it looked like the eye of a needle. And it was hard for camels to go through that because a camel sits up high. Their hump makes them high. And if you have a man on top of them, it's hard for that camel, and he's kind of wide. They were a little bit wider than, you know, if they got a load on them, it's hard for them to make it through this needle, through this passage. But again, I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of Elohim. It's difficult for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, especially if it's loaded and whatever. And if a rich man is loaded down with his riches, it's hard for him to enter into the kingdom because he don't want to give them up. sometimes they had to unpack the camel, get them through that eye, and then repack them after they got through. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who can be saved?" But Yeshua beheld them and said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with Elohim all things are possible." So Elohim can get a rich man into the kingdom if the rich man will come to Elohim and understand what it is that he's coming into, that his salvation and his eternity and everything that he counts on is not in his riches, it's in the Most High. Romans chapter 3, verse 25 through 31. Romans chapter 3, verse 25 through 31. "Whom Elohim has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past." This is what Messiah came into the world for, to pay for the sins, your sins that are past, through the forbearance of Elohim. You accept Messiah as your Savior. At that point, all of your sins up to that point in past are saved, are washed away, saved, are washed away. After that point, you need to walk right. He didn't die for your future sins, is what I'm telling you. And only those sins that you do in ignorance can you bring in repentance. If it's willful sin, you can't bring it. "To declare, I say, at the time his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believes in Yeshua." Where is boasting then? Where are you going to boast on the law? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No. By the law of faith. Can't boast in your works, because the Most High says, "I want you to believe in me and what I'm doing. I want you to turn yourself wholly over to me. Get hold to the vision. Clean yourself up. Come and do the work." Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Not that you're not going to keep the law, but you can't use the law to justify yourself. Because the law was given for us for one reason, to show us that we were sinners. That is the whole purpose of the law. This is what's right and this is what's wrong. Is he the Elohim of the Jews only? Does this apply to the Jews only? He is not. Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one Elohim which shall justify the circumcision by faith. We are the circumcision. He justifies us by faith, if we have it. And the uncircumcision through faith. That means that they got to go through some things. If we have faith, if we get the faith that the Most High has told us to have, we are justified by that faith. We have the statutes, laws, and commandments. But the Gentiles still need to go through some things. And through their faith in him, then they can come to the knowledge of the statutes, the laws, and the commandments, and how they are to worship the Most High and what they're to do. We are supposed to already know. Do we then make void the law through faith? Elohim forbid. We establish the law. We don't say, as the Gentiles say and as the churches say, Christ came and destroyed the law. He did not come and destroy the law. He came and fulfilled it. He is the end state of what the law should bring us to. We should be striving to be like him, not that he put an end to the law. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. "Bear ye one another's burden, so fulfill the law of Christ." We are supposed to be bearing each other's burden. We are supposed to be having all things in common. We are supposed to be coming together as a people and establishing the kingdom on the earth. One last place. Let's go to Acts chapter 17. The book of Acts chapter 17. Starting in verse 28. "For in him, Messiah, we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own prophets, poets have said, for we are also his offspring." understand that we are the children of Elohim, that we have to become the children of Elohim, his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of Elohim, we ought not to think that Elohim, the Godhead, is like unto gold or silver or stone or graven art or man's device. And the times of this ignorance, Elohim winked at. Look at them. They're trying to make something that they think represents me, as if they could build something with their hands that represents me. In times past, he winked at that, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men, and that he has raised him from the dead. So let us pray. Father Yah, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your vision of the world. We thank you for allowing us to see it. Father, we just want to take hold of your vision. We want to walk in all of your oracles, not just the statutes, the laws, and the commandments, but even within your vision for this world and what you would have it to be. Father, we want to be those agents of change. We want to be obedient. We want to walk in faith and be faithful to you, Father, 100%, 1,000%. Father, help us. Give us what we need. Give us a change of heart. Wash us. Make us clean. Give us boldness and strength that we should take hold of this thing with all that we have, and that we will be your faithful servants. We will walk in your ways. We will go about to bring about the vision that you have set for this world. And if we go to our graves, Father, without seeing it, we will know that we are in good company. For all the patriarchs and your prophets, they were faithful to you, having seen the vision and not yet achieved the promise. You said that you would bring us all together. That's why they can't have the promise before all those that you have declared shall be in the promise. We have to all come together. So, Father, we will go about to establish your vision in the world, knowing that we are doing a work and that you shall make it whole when you return. Bless us, Father, to this end. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. I pray that we get this. I pray that we hear this, that we are able to step into it. It is the Father's desire that we do. With that being said, remember, may Yah encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you, but Yah Elohim loves you way more. Step into his vision. Shalom, family. The world and the universe.
have no beginning and you have no ending. I think it's amazing, it's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptize, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibration. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a